Welcome to the Buckhead Church Podcast. If you want to learn how you can be more engaged with our church, check us out online at buckheadchurch.org, or you can connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. I hope the following message inspires you to take the next step forward in your faith journey. Check it out.
Back again on the Buckhead Church Podcast. I am especially excited about this one. Welcome, Ann Jeanette Paul. Ann Jeanette, how are you?
I'm good, thanks.
I'm so glad that you're here because there are not many people that can talk about this topic that we're going to talk about today better than you can. Your job at Buckhead Church, you run what we call Intersect, mm-hmm. but explain that to people if you would.
Yeah, Intersect. So our mission is to inspire people to follow Jesus by engaging them in compassion, generosity, and justice. And we mainly do that through relationships with a handful of nonprofit partners that we've worked with for a long time who are doing great work out in the community.
So it's intersecting these amazing local community partners that are doing great work in our city with people that are in our church
yep.
and really giving people in our church opportunities to be generous, to experience compassion and compassionate moments and compassionate organizations, and then also to help them jump in on areas of justice, which is
absolutely
remarkable. So you, the thing I love about you, Ann Jeanette, is you know our city really, really well. And whenever, over the last couple of months, you've introduced me to some of our community partners and the reverence they have for you. They revere you because you care so deeply, but you also know it so well. So we're in the middle of the COVID crisis. We're trying to figure out how can we be the church? We're always trying to be the church in our community, but it's especially important now. And some of the ways that we can do that have changed because of some of our quarantining that we've done. So let's start with, we have a lot, there's a lot of people in Atlanta doing great things, but you mentioned some of our partners. We've chosen to partner with a few of them. Explain how that works.
Yeah. So when Intersect was first begun about 13-ish years ago, we vetted a handful of partners that specifically are in our area of town, and they focus on homelessness or near homelessness, on at-risk kids, and on the chronically ill and elderly. And so, we've just decided to partner versus pioneer. So we went out and found organizations that were doing great work and said, hey, we want to help you go further faster instead of trying to create in-house programs ourselves that honestly wouldn't have been as good anyway.
I love that. And we really value going as deep as possible with a few.
Absolutely.
I know there are loads of people doing great things. I wish we could partner with more, but I feel like you've done such a great job of really focusing us on just a few of them. So do you want to name, let me back up and ask it this way. Who are the partners that we have that are feeling the implications from COVID-19 more than others?
So honestly, pretty much all of them are feeling it in some way, because if you imagine, the people that are most affected by this are the people on the margins, and that's who our partners are serving every day. So they're all feeling it in their own different ways, but a couple that kind of rise to the top right now are Open Hand, because they specifically serve the chronically elderly, the chronically ill and elderly, the people that are most at risk. Buckhead Christian Ministry, they usually focus on the working poor. So people that are already living kind of paycheck to paycheck and are maybe on the verge of being evicted from their home or having utilities shut off or that kind of thing. So they are helping a lot with emergency assistance and training of folks. And then MedShare, they have kind of a dual local and global impact. And their global impact is they repurpose medical supplies and equipment to give to under-resourced hospitals
around
the world.
Things like respirators?
Yes. And masks and gloves and personal protective equipment, the stuff that everybody needs right now. Mm. And so they ship that stuff all around the world, but also they have a program specifically to help safety net clinics here in the U.S. So they have really a pretty far reach. A lot of our partners are feeling it. And Good Sam Atlanta is another one. They are a health center for the uninsured and underinsured, specifically on the west side of Atlanta. And so this is already part of what they do every day, but it's definitely ramped up.
Well, I wanted to talk to you because I wanted to know some things like what is happening in our city, what are our community partners feeling, but also, just so you know, those of you that are listening or watching, we're going to get to, toward the end of this, we're going to get to some ways that we can actually help and be the light in the middle of what can feel like a dark time.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that in such practical, you help give us real practical ways to do that, which I love. So why don't you start with what are our partners feeling? What are some of the emotions that they're experiencing? And you talk to our partners often all the time,
yeah,
I feel
yeah. like. So, it, you know, it depends on the partner, depends on the season, but especially in the last week, we've all been emailing quite a bit, some texts and phone calls. But two, their worlds have been turned upside down. So to some extent, one of the most useful things I can do is give them a little bit of space because they're trying to figure everything out. So I'm just giving them the space and time they need to tell us how we can do, how we can best support them instead of sort of forcing myself on them to try to get their attention when they've got so many people vying for their attention right now. But yes, we are in constant contact pretty much.
I know Open Hand does a lot to, they take meals to chronically ill and elderly. There are some ways that we can, that people have served them, but what are we learning about the quarantine? It seems like the quarantine recommendations are changing. It feels like almost daily.
It does.
And so how's that changing what they do?
So they cook, they prepare, they pack, and they deliver nutritious meals to chronically ill and elderly folks. And they need volunteers to just run their day-to-day operations, a lot of volunteers. And so they've just seen with everything that's happening, a lot of their corporate volunteer groups are backing off because people are working from home and they can't, they're not available to come volunteer like they thought they were. Yeah, there are all kinds of reasons.
Yep.
And frankly, too, people are understandably a little bit uncertain about going into Open Hands facility with a group of people. So they are absolutely doing the best they can to keep up with CDC guidelines to make sure that everybody's safe, the volunteers, the clients, the staff, but they still have an operation to run to feed all the folks out there. I think they do something like 5,000 meals a day. So that's just a big operation to try to keep up and running. And it's only ramping up because the need is increasing right now. So they are in need of volunteers and they're just doing their best to keep the group small. If you do meal delivery, it's as small as however many people fit in your car. And they're taking all kinds of precautions like gloves and aprons and, washing hands, all the things again that the CDC recommends, but they're doing the absolute best they can to keep up with those guidelines. It's just, it's tough when they have so much to do right now.
So that's one way we can help. If somebody had some discretionary time on their hands,
absolutely,
they could take meals to people.
Yeah. So openhandatlanta.org, you can go there and there's a volunteer calendar that shows you up to date exactly what they need. That calendar is pretty much always real time up to date. And so they need something, I think yesterday they sent out a message saying they need something like 450 volunteers in the near term to just complete their operations. Mm-hmm. So a pretty big need there. But again, those volunteers are in smaller groups. It's not 450 people all at once.
Right.
They're in smaller groups, packing meals and delivering meals. So there's a pretty big volunteer need there.
What else can we do?
Honestly, the main thing we're hearing from most of our partners is just financial assistance, and specifically undesignated financial assistance, because as you said, things are changing constantly and just they're trying to keep up. And so just general gifts to them to help them with their operations are a massive help because so many of them are having to do extra things or having to serve extra people. And it's just a major financial burden for them.
And Jeanette, you don't have to be around Buckhead Church for long to hear about, to learn about, to become aware of the incredible work that's been done with what was previously known as Woodson Elementary, now known as Kip Woodson Park Academy. A lot of people are probably going to ask that question. What can we do for the students at that beautifully amazing and awesome school?
Well, the good news is APS is already doing a pretty great job about making sure that a lot of their basic needs are covered, especially food. And so right now we are in contact with the director of operations at Woodson. We're waiting for them to tell us exactly the best way to supplement them.
You can go to our website, buckheadchurch.org. You can find all of a list of our partners there. Mm-hmm. We link to their website. We'll put those in the show notes here. But please, 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 if you're in a place where you can give directly to them, we've talked about some ways that we can raise money for them and give to Buckhead Church and then give to them. But honestly, the more we've talked about it, the easier it is for us to just point people to use the spotlight that we have to shine a light on these amazing organizations and support them directly. So I would just encourage you, please, please support them because they're doing incredible work in our community. Last thing I want to talk about, Anjanette, is you told me a story recently about your dad's house catching on fire and something that you learned about caring for the community during that time that I think is very relevant to what we specifically can do today. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah. So about 4 years ago, my dad lost his house to a fire. It was a complete loss. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but it was interesting just to see that whole thing play out. They were in Indiana. It was December, so it's wintertime. And right as the fire happened, the immediate neighbors, so the people across the street, two houses down, those were the people in our family, were the people who were most helpful because they could come give my stepmom a robe because it was cold and my nephew some shoes because he didn't have any shoes on his feet. And that was really, really helpful in that moment. But then fast forward a week, my family's staying in a hotel because they had nowhere else to go. And a lot of the same really well-meaning people were, for instance, just flooding them with clothing donations and meals and just different things that could have been helpful. But when you're staying in a hotel room, you don't have anywhere to store it. Right. You don't have anywhere to sort through everything and figure out even what's most useful to you.
So how did that work out?
And it honestly just became almost more of a burden than a help. And so it was just a reminder to me that I know that our gut feeling, our gut reaction in crisis is we want to help, we want to do something. But sometimes the most helpful thing to do is to step back, give people a little bit of time. And, you know, again, financial donations are huge. And to leave it to the people closest to those in need, both like in terms of closeness relationally and you know, physically close, to meet some of those immediate needs. And then beyond that, to really lean on the experts. Like my family was helped most in the long term, not just by those individual donations, but by the systems that were set up around them to help with that kind of crisis.
So just to recap that, number one, we all can pay close attention to those in close proximity to us.
Absolutely.
The people immediately around us, the elderly on our street, the chronically ill on our street, the single mom that's trying to work and make ends meet down the street, those people that are right around us, we can start there. And then secondly, we can support the systems that do this all the time.
Because they're the experts.
That's
they know
right.
what they're doing.
That's
yeah.
right. And those are our community partners.
Absolutely.
And so thank you for establishing such great relationships with them, for doing so much throughout the year, so that in times like this, we have somebody that can be a voice of reason that can also point people in the right place. If you're watching today or listening today and you have severe needs and you don't know where to turn, obviously we would, the way our church operates is the people that are in close proximity to you are those that are in your community group. So they're going to be able to meet needs of each other really, really well. But if you're watching today or listening today and you don't have a place to turn, you don't have a place to reach out for help, what can people do?
I think the best thing is to just email info@buckheadchurch.org and then we can route those needs to the right people to make sure we address it as quickly as possible.
Great. And as always, we're continuing to pray for our city and praying for those local community partners that are doing heroic work, for those medical professionals who are doing some amazing things on the front line. So, hey, thank you for what you do. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching today. We hope you'll be back with us for more.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Buckhead Church podcast. If you'd like more content, you can always check out our services live or on demand at buckheadchurch.org. And if you want to experience community anytime, anywhere, go to buckheadchurch.org/groups.